Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me, as always, is the only man who knows that the Chicago Bears are my new secret favorite team. Here is the captain.
And those Bears are on cocaine. It's good to be seen and good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend.
Today we are still sipping on this dandy, the $50 million man from Three Floyds Brewing. It's juicy with bright tropical fruit coupled with an Imperial IPA with 9% ABV. All of that makes this one powerful beer, garage grade 4 out of 5 bottle caps. And let's give the power back to the people. Cheers to you for helping us fill up the fridge this week. First up, a big cheers goes out to our friend Michael from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And a big We Like Your Jib goes out to Dee from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Next up, we have Stephanie in Marysville, Ohio. And last but certainly not least, we have Captain Shipwreck 503 and Parts Unknown. Everyone we just mentioned, they helped us out. They went to truecrimegarage.com and filled up the fridge for this week's show by donating to the Beer Fund, and for that, we thank you.
Yeah, BWWRUN Beer Run. First off, go to truecrimegarage.com and sign up on the mailing list so you can be in the know. And while you're there, check out the new Band the Van t-shirts and the Creepy Camper t-shirts. Also, remember to send me pictures of creepy vans as you see them out in the wild so we can ban the van. And Colonel, that's enough of the business.
All right, everybody, gather around, grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime.
Brother-in-law. Kevin P. Anderson is also wanted for intentionally burning down his late father's home. Authorities still haven't been able to find Anderson.
He is considered dangerous, and Tony Galley joins us live in Jefferson County. Tony, what else have you learned?
Well, George, we are here in the rain at the Jefferson County Courthouse, where Kevin Anderson has gone from person of interest to murder defendant. As authorities say, his anger over the terms of his father's will boiled before he allegedly killed his sister and brother-in-law. A criminal complaint issued at this courthouse just a few minutes ago states a sheriff's deputy found the bodies of 57-year-old Nedra Lemke and 59-year-old Jim Lemke at the father's Fort Atkinson home, and also found Anderson and Lemke's developmentally challenged brother in a car on the property, unhurt but unable to speak. Authorities say the deputy then exchanged gunfire with someone on the home's second floor before the home erupted in flames. Now, the complaint also says Anderson felt betrayed. Nedra Lemke was chosen the executor of the state, and that Anderson had taken guns out of the home and changed locks. As you mentioned, there's been a search for Kevin Anderson for more than a week. One of his acquaintances tells authorities that he is an exceptional marksman. They also say that remains remains in the fire. None of those remains were of Kevin Anderson. They continue the search, and they continue to tell people that he is, as you mentioned, armed and dangerous. Reporting live from Jefferson County, Tony Galley, 27 News.
You heard it, they are no longer a suspect and now a defendant. The authorities looking for Kevin P. Anderson. He is a fugitive on the run. He is somebody that they need to apprehend. You heard all the charges that he is facing. We know how dangerous this individual is. He's also known to have a very violent temper, and we've seen this play out in the public from the 1993 charges where he's firing guns at people that were coming out of the bar. We know that he is charged with 2 counts of homicide and had every intention of killing that deputy that arrived on the scene there that day. And God bless it, he probably was intending to kill his brother, his poor brother that was sitting inside that vehicle. And luckily, he was able to get out of there unharmed on that day before the home of his father was burnt down to the ground. You touched on something yesterday, Captain, and I wanted to delve a little further into that thought. And a lot of this goes to where we will end up, and that is, where could this man be? Where could this very dangerous individual be hiding out? We're coming up on almost 3 years since this guy was on the run. And one detail that I find fascinating in this case, and this comes from the police records, and it says that when the police scoured the scene after the home was burnt to the ground, now unfortunately they found our two victims already deceased, they find the suspect, the defendant, his vehicle, his Dodge Ram truck, inside of an outbuilding on the property, broken out windows, just as Nedra described in the 911 call. But they also found Nedra's cell phone at the scene. They found the cell phone near her body at the scene.
Right.
And they were able to recover some information from that cell phone. One was a message, right? A text message that was sent from her phone to 3 phone numbers. One of those phone numbers is Kevin Anderson's phone number. And in that text message, she says, "Hi, everyone. Just wanted to put this out to see if anyone wants to take up the task of keeping the farm's grass mowed this summer. It's getting long." Then at 12:41 p.m., so that text message came out at 9:33 a.m. that morning, the same day that she was killed. At 12:41 p.m., there's an outgoing call from her cell phone to Kevin Anderson's phone. This call results in a voicemail, so Kevin does not pick up the phone. On the call, on the voicemail, Nedra says, "Hi, Kevin. I have plans to get the mowing done at the farm, so I need access into the shed to get to the mower.
Right.
If you could call me back and let me know how I can do this, we are planning on doing that tonight. So that would be really helpful. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye." Nice, friendly message, quick and to the point. What's the point of discovering this information? Early on in this case, it was suggested that this fallout and the aftermath was due to some kind of argument. And we said maybe it's due to some kind of ongoing argument. But what I see here at the scene and what the captain sees here at the scene, I see premeditation. That's a different kind of evil. Here in this case, we have a few different factors to consider when do we make an argument for premeditation.
And I absolutely think so.
And I think we do, because that points out just how calculated, how evil, and how bad this individual is.
Kevin P. Anderson. Because what we have is we have evidence that his sister makes contact with him, leaving some voicemail. She's basically telling him when they're going to be at the property. And when they go to the property, unbeknownst to her, he's at that property. He didn't have his truck parked in the driveway. He had it hidden in a barn. And then when she gets to the property, there's broken out windows causing her to call 911. Well, I think those broken out windows were so he could snipe his family members.
Let me paint this picture for you, because here's where I think that there is obvious evidence that this whole situation is far more sinister than just some argument, some crime of passion. I think this was premeditated murder. And I think that going on the run, that him fleeing this farm and being on the run for all this time, I think that was the only part of this crime that was not premeditated. I think he thought he could murder his family and get away with it that day. So let's describe this, right? We know, based off of that text message that came at 9 a.m. that morning, the voicemail that came in the early afternoon of that same day that Jim and Nedra were killed, he was aware that they fully intended to go to the property that evening.
Yeah, he would know their location.
He lives 6 miles. Kevin Anderson at the time lived 6 miles from his father's house, from his deceased father's house. He arrives there early enough that he knows a couple of things. He can park and conceal his truck. So when his sister and brother-in-law pull into the property, they will not know that he is there. They will not see his truck. He's already positioned himself at a vantage point where he can fire down upon them from the second floor. He broke out those windows with the intention of shooting at the people that arrived that day. And let's take it a couple steps further. We know that the family came out later and investigators came out later and said, look, the locks have been changed on the house. Everybody is saying we must presume that it was Kevin Anderson that changed these locks. We know it wasn't Nedra or Jim. And there were guns missing from the home. I think we have a situation, Captain, where he showed up with the intent of ambushing his family.
Yeah.
He set the scene. He rigged the game. They had no chance. Like shooting fish in a barrel. The thing here that he didn't plan on was the 911 call.
Right.
And his sister is very observant. Brother-in-law, very observant. They show up. They were probably already a little skeeved out by his behavior. Probably a little on edge because the locks had been changed. There are lights on when they return to the property. It looks like somebody showing up and doing things and making alterations to this property in the house while they're gone. And so they arrived there that day and they didn't stand a chance, unfortunately. He set the system up. He rigged the game against them. And here's the thing. You hit on this yesterday too, Captain.
It's because I'm a genius.
That house doesn't go up like a matchbook with no accelerant used.
And see, that's where I think there was a possible escape plan. If this plan doesn't go perfectly, the alternative becomes light the house on fire and then I disappear. I think it's possible he thought it out to that point. Again, wouldn't be aware of the 911 call, but that doesn't mean he didn't have, hey, if this does go wrong, how can I get out of this situation?
As soon as that deputy arrives on the scene, he makes the decision, the conscious decision, to fire down upon that deputy. Had he hit him, I feel like once this deputy arrives on the scene, that's when he has to flip, right? He has to go, oh, now I have to flee. Even if I kill the deputy, I have to flee this situation because there was a call that went in. They responded to the call. It won't take too long to put things together. But if you did this, if you were able to take out your family, who's to say that he did not intend to conceal the body somewhere?
Yes, because this case, one, is it's nutso, right?
Mm-hmm.
Old Kevin P. Anderson. I wonder what the P stands for. I think it probably stands for pee-pee head. But when you hear of this crime and you want to think about the layout of the land, where the barns are, where the houses are, what's nuts about this whole thing is you can go online and watch the body cam footage of the responding deputy. And you can see the layout of the land. You can see what he saw. You could see the vehicles he saw. You could see when he gets behind his vehicle. You can hear when the gunshots are fired at him. You can see him running across the road and taking cover. And you can hear him calling again for backup. But one of the things that you'll notice in that video is there's a lawnmower that's out. Mm-hmm. So then you wonder too, okay, well, they told you they're going to come by and they need access to that lawnmower. Is it possible that he went, well, I'll go get there early, conceal my vehicle, lock all the barns, but have the lawnmower out. And when they go to get on that lawnmower, I'll be there to snipe them.
We don't know if Kevin could see his sister on the phone. And obviously, even if he did, he would not know who she's on the phone with.
Right.
But when his cell phone doesn't ring, the thing here is...
Yeah, but hold on. You're in the middle of nowhere. And as long as there's not cars running and cars driving by, he might have heard every single word that she said.
Right. And what I'm pointing out, though, is kind of regardless. It's almost... She's found right next to her vehicle. He could have decided to fire the shots as soon as he starts seeing people get out of the vehicle. That, to me, implies that this was an ambush, that it was intended that he was going to do this when they showed up. There was no confrontation. There was no back and forth between them. And we talked about yesterday how quickly things went down between the time that they arrive and call 911 to the time that the deputy's on the scene and now he's getting shot at, between the time that his backup arrives and now the house is on fire. It all goes down. Those phone calls, shots fired, and the house fully inflamed all takes place in less than 30 minutes, probably closer to the 20-minute mark.
Yeah.
So everything's happening very quickly. And that, too, that's where I get it a little wonky in my head here with trying to figure out and sort out what happened. We know that an accelerant had to have been used for the house to go up that quickly and in flames like that. I would believe an accelerant would be used. That gets tricky on, was he planning on concealing the bodies or was the fire premeditated and he was hoping to conceal the bodies there in the house, in the burning house?
Right.
And stage the scene or convolute the scene a little bit for when investigators arrive. You pointed out something yesterday. There are no houses that are near. Now, of course, flames go up, smoke goes up. Somebody would have seen it eventually, but how long would it have taken for somebody to spot that and call it in to authorities?
Yeah, not to mention the tons of acreage and woods that he could have taking the bodies to try to dispose of them,
plus
to hide them.
As everyone in the family has stated, the grandfather, his father, owned guns. There were guns inside that house. Did he use one or two of the guns inside that home to make it look like maybe some random person broke into the place, found the guns, and then the victims stumbled upon a break-in? There's shots fired, they're killed, and the random person burns down the house and flees into the night, gone on the highway. We don't know who did this, because that's a whole different story than 911 being called, a deputy showing up, and then within a day, they are telling us, Kevin Anderson, we believe he's responsible. We know how hesitant law enforcement are these days to say this person is a suspect. Heck, in a lot of jurisdictions these days, they're very hesitant to even say somebody's a person of interest. He was named as a suspect very early on, and then within 10, 11 days of the homicides, he's charged. There's an active warrant out for him by multiple agencies.
Yeah, and I don't want to spend a ton of time just going over my speculation, but if there's multiple guns, I'd be interested to see which guns were used on what victim, and is it, like you said, a scenario where you're going to then place these bodies into this burning building? You're only 6 miles from home. Did he have some kind of plan to make it back home? And then all I have to do is explain away my vehicle being there.
Well, we do know that they did serve multiple search warrants at Kevin Anderson's property and his home. And so they searched that property extensively on multiple occasions. Where he went immediately after the fire, I think it's anyone's guess. I would love to hear some of those guesses, though, because we're coming up on 3 years. If you want the public's help, if you want the public's assistance, give us some breadcrumbs here. The other thing, too, is what items do they believe he took with them? What items do they believe that he took with him? These guns are missing from the scene. Did they recover them from his property? Right. If they didn't, he likely used them in the commission of these two homicides. He may have taken them with him when he left. And then in September of 2020, this is where we get the public service announcement, the request from the public, the sheriff's department reminding the public, hey, we still need your help. This guy's still on the run. We don't know where he is. And by the way, it's hunting season. Hunting season is starting very soon. And we want to remind all the hunters out there, this guy that we're looking for, Kevin Anderson, he's a hunter himself. He's an outdoorsman. He's an avid camper. We think there's a chance that he could be surviving out in the wilderness. So hunters, when you go out this season, be on the lookout for this individual and call us immediately if you see him or you spot somebody who appears to be living in the woods somewhere. Now, that was September of 2020.
Yeah.
I don't think, look, Kevin Anderson could be the best hunter there ever was or the best camper there ever was. I have a hard time believing that almost 3 years later that he's still living off of the land. I think we probably might be sitting here with the situation that somebody could be covering for him or helping him or hiding him. Or maybe he's found a situation and taken himself and placed himself in a situation. Maybe he's taken somebody's ID. The thing is with him, and the reason why I think it's important for the public to know of some of these possible breadcrumbs that could be a trail to him, is to help law enforcement. Because think about how dangerous this dude is. He killed two of his family members. He was prepared to kill a deputy. I bet you, I can't say 100%, who knows what he was going to do to his poor brother. And then the father that he, I don't know what the relationship was with his parents, but he burnt down their home. This guy seems to me like the kind of guy that will do anything he has to survive. You cannot tell me that he did all of what he's been in charge with and he wouldn't kill somebody for their identity. Or wouldn't kill somebody to stop them from phoning him in. This guy's already made that deal with the devil.
But here's what's tough, though, is what we know from law enforcement. They have no credible sightings of him. They have very few tips, if any. You have hundreds of acres. So if you tell me that you did a search of those acreage, I'm going to believe you. I just don't know how in depth those searches would be. Like you said, they did use drones. But I believe it was the sheriff that said, I don't have any evidence that he's deceased, so I'm going to have to consider that he's alive and well. Or is it likely that he went to those woods when he escaped and then he took his own life? Because we have no credible sightings of him.
My suspicion is that I believe that they would have found him if he's not still on the run.
Because they did use dogs.
Yeah, I have it in my notes here, and I'm trying to find it. all of the search efforts that they did. So here, we have it right here, and this is a statement from the sheriff. He does say that, look, not hundreds of acres. We have thousands of acres that we are concerned about. And then he goes on to say that we know that our suspect, or now our wanted fugitive, Kevin Anderson, was known to frequent thousands of acres in the area of County Highway A and State Highway 106. He does say, we've searched that area, those thousands of acres, using planes, helicopters, drones, canines, thermal imaging, and of course, boots on the ground officers actually walking through the woods and the fields. They've unfortunately not come up with anything in the hunt for Kevin Anderson. It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold hard cash sitting on the table unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves. And Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic game that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. Have you ever thought about why your wireless bill is so damn expensive? It's all just radio waves. And how much can radio waves really cost? It seems like Big Wireless all got together and decided $100 a month. Now, thanks to Mint Mobile, you have a choice. For a limited time, all phone plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get premium wireless for just $15 a month. I love Mint Mobile. They have great quality. They have wonderful service. I love saving money. Put them together and I'm getting great quality, great service, a wonderful phone plan for only $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Factor's ready to eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Day Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I am always on the go. I'm rather busy. And grabbing a quick meal, for me, used to mean eating the bad stuff. But I've switched to Factor. Now I simply grab a Factor meal from my refrigerator, heat, and then I am enjoying a delicious meal in just 2 minutes. and it's not loaded with the bad stuff. Head to factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50 and use code truecrimegarage50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code truecrimegarage50 at factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey, a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story. It takes you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. You'll step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Use your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. And customize your very own luxurious estate island. Think expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. And you can chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
With no word on the location of Kevin Anderson, authorities are again here at his Fort Atkinson home, and they have been concentrating on the back of the property, with this investigation's large incident command vehicle the center of those operations. Law enforcement personnel have brought seized items off the Anderson property, and what authorities say is at least the third court-authorized search in connection with the shooting deaths of Anderson's sister, Nedra Lemke, and her husband, Jim. Authorities began searching for Anderson the day after a deputy found his sister and brother-in-law dead at the Fort Atkinson home of the Anderson's late father. That home went up in flames after that responding deputy exchanged gunfire with someone there. Both Anderson and victim Nedra Lemke are in line for money from their father's will. As this search for Kevin Anderson continues, law enforcement sources tell me the search could even intensify as early as tomorrow. In Fort Atkinson, Tony Galley, 27 News.
All right, we are back. Cheers, mates. Cheers to you, Colonel.
Cheers to you. Now, the photo that we need to make sure that is the one that is being distributed, and this is in my humble garage opinion here, and if anybody retweets what we send out or you find a photo of Kevin Anderson yourself and you want to get involved and you want to show the photo to people and put it out there, which I recommend and hope that you will, I think that the key photo here, and again, maybe we need to not limit ourselves to one photo because I do believe this guy looks considerably different from photo to photo. But there is one that is being circulated that is of Kevin Anderson at an ATM. So if you're online and you find this photo or you see us posting it, it will be the one where Kevin Anderson is, you know, just as most people would be at the drive-up ATM. They're kind of slightly out of their driver's side window.
Right.
And when you hear that this picture was taken at an ATM, one, that makes a lot of sense given his positioning and the photo itself. It explains the photo itself. What it doesn't explain is when was this photo taken? So the reason why this photo is in circulation, it's because it is the most recent photo of Kevin Anderson.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if this is the day of the crimes or was this weeks after the crimes?
My suspicion is that this photo, this ATM photo, was taken prior to him going on the run, prior to the homicides. And I only say that because one of the statements that law enforcement has provided us with is that they're all of the vehicles associated with Kevin Anderson are accounted for. So he's gone, but his transportation, his means of transportation prior to the homicides, they're not gone. They're all accounted for. So this dude could have started off fleeing on foot. So then you go, okay, well, if it were to have been taken after the homicides and once he was on the run, then fill in the blanks a little bit for us. Because if he's not in Jefferson County, Wisconsin, if we know other areas that he has ties to, or he uses ATM card or a credit card or laid down some kind of breadcrumb trail to, let us know. Let the public know. You've asked us for your help and we are willing and able. The other thing too, the complicated thing here, Captain, is we know the U.S. Marshals are involved. The ATF is involved, and for obvious reasons, he has firearms charges. I want to know, did they ever recover any of the guns that were in that home, in his father's home?
Right. If they searched the property and they searched all these acres, did they find the guns in those searches?
Right. And if you didn't find them there, when you searched his home, his property, did you find them on his at his home or his property?
Yeah, which is a great point. Because
he could have taken them earlier.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you do find those guns on that property, then it becomes there's multiple questions there. One, were these guns used in the murder of his family members? If so, you find them at his property, that means he got back to his property before he vanished into thin air.
This case, too, was big news in this little area of Wisconsin, and probably big news for the great state of Wisconsin itself. Some complicating factors here for a fugitive on the run. One, I already pointed out, with this guy being as dangerous as he is and is capable of doing whatever it takes to get away with it and avoid prison as he is, this guy is limitless when it comes to what he may do to remain a free individual. We know that Wisconsin, not terribly far from the Canadian border, from the border of Canada, he'd have to go through Michigan, Minnesota. Minnesota would be closest to, that Minnesota state line would be closest to where he was located in Fort Atkinson or Sumner, Wisconsin. I wouldn't think that that would be out of the realm of possibility. But the thing here is, too, I would love to, and I'm hoping in some small way that our garage show captain can help contribute to this. I think that this case needs to go more on a national level. This case needs to go more nationwide than what it has. It's been 3 years. This is an incredibly dangerous individual. We talked about Jason Derrick Brown last year, how dangerous he is.
Yeah.
That case went on a national level. They are still looking for Jason Derrick Brown. I would love to see, and I haven't checked it this week or last week, but last time I checked the FBI's Most Wanted, there was room to add a new name. I think maybe here is the time that we consider adding somebody like Kevin Anderson to that FBI's Most Wanted list and bring this story to a more national and more nationwide and get some more eyes and earballs on this story so that we can apprehend this guy and get him off the streets. He's incredibly dangerous.
Well, and like I was telling you, Colonel, I was searching for a way to copy that body cam footage video because I do think it's important. And if you watch it, I think you can see how dangerous of a scene this was and how dangerous of an individual this person is. And when we talk about somebody vanishing, poof, they vanished into thin air. It's normally like a missing person case, like a Brian Schaefer or Mara Murray. Mm-hmm. But this is different. This is poof, disappear into thin air. And this guy is a murderer.
And does not want to be found.
No. And he's not going to be, look, if you're willing to kill your family members over a property that I think he had not only intentions to kill his family members, but also intentions to just burn the the place down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shoots at a deputy. He's not going to be going willingly. This guy is heavily, should be viewed extremely dangerous. And the problem is, again, some of the pictures you see of him, I think you can see that evil element in him. But I could also see people being surprised by his appearances and not looking the way you would think a psychopathic murderer would look like.
He looks to me like he would fit in. And I think part of that is largely his age, right? There's something disarming about a man in his mid-60s. But I think that in most scenarios, he's going to kind of fit in. He's going to look like he belongs. He's not going to stand out in the crowd to me. Now, we talked about him being an avid hunter and camper. I don't see him being on the run for close to 3 years and being out in the wilderness somewhere, but what do I know?
You know nothing.
I know nothing.
You
is
know
what they
nothing.
Tell. But we do have several individuals that knew him extensively, knew him from a young age and well into adulthood. And these were friends of his that said, look, this guy was an incredibly good shot. He could hit shots and make shots that most people could not. That makes him even more dangerous, maybe even makes it easier for him to survive. Now, Christine Spangler is the former managing editor of the Daily Jefferson County Union newspaper and online articles. They did really good coverage, local coverage of this case and local coverage of this manhunt for Kevin Anderson. But again, it needs to go to a nationwide level because this guy could be anywhere. And if he's out walking around free amongst us and breathing, he's dangerous. He's a danger to you and to everyone else. The show In Pursuit with John Walsh, somebody everybody knows.
The famous John Walsh.
The famous John Walsh.
From America's Most Wanted.
Unfortunately, the father of Adam Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
They covered this case in season 3, episode 8. It was titled Bad Blood, and rightfully so. And they did a gangbusters job of trying to assist law enforcement and educating the public to help find this individual. But here's the thing. If somebody is housing Kevin Anderson, if somebody's helping him, you've missed the obvious. You've put yourself in harm's way, and maybe you don't even know it. Because unless he's threatened you or controlling you, you're helping somebody, and you might have signed your own death warrant. This guy, I'm telling you, you can see his previous crimes. You can see what he's wanted for. You know that he will stop at nothing. If it comes down between you and him, he will choose him every single time, and he will end you.
Yeah, this case is so difficult for me because of the acreage. I just wonder, one, is it possible that he disappeared to a place that he's familiar with? And if they caught him living in these woods for the last few years, it wouldn't surprise me. But it also wouldn't surprise me that he knew of places in those woods that most locals didn't. And is it possible that he went to one of those places, realized what he did, and took his own life? And that's why we don't have any sightings of this individual. We also don't, it doesn't seem like we have a lot of credible leads. Law enforcement hasn't given us a lot of information. Again, that's a tricky situation. When something's not solved, of course we want more information. We want to be able to help them. But in some of these cases, that hold back information is very important.
The other thing, too, is it's his whereabouts that are concerning, right? If they have had any credible leads on his whereabouts, it gets very difficult and very dicey for law enforcement because you want to tell the public, hey, we thought we were onto something, or we tracked him here, We have some credible leads on him that point us in this direction or that direction. But at the same time, if there's a hint of a chance that he's still in that area, you don't want to show your cards to him.
Yeah,
you don't want him to find out or catch wind that you are on to him.
Yeah, you don't want to spook Kevin P. Anderson. But you also, it becomes an issue, though, too, is if law enforcement, let's just say in the Brian Schaefer case or let's say Mara Murray's case, if law enforcement said, hey, we have some credible leads and credible eyewitness accounts that we possibly can put Mara Murray in Columbus, Ohio, you would start getting eyewitness calls. And so if you put out too much information, you might find yourself in a situation where now you're spinning your own tires, tracking down these leads that amount to nothing.
If the trail's gone cold in this situation, looking for Kevin Anderson, then I think you have nothing to lose at this point, given that it's been over 2.5 years.
Yeah, again, I think there needs to be more investigation done locally. I think they need to go over those acreages again. I think they should also reach out to the locals and ask, hey, have you noticed anything missing from your property lately?
That's a good call.
You know, has there been a time where you came home and you thought, well, I locked the door. Why is it unlocked?
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm missing a loaf of bread.
Right. My home's been ransacked, and oddly enough, the things that are missing are a lantern and food.
Well, right. But not ransacked. And not to be picky here, but when you come home, if you thought your house was ransacked, that would maybe throw up a red flag.
Be a little obvious.
Yeah. So what I mean is it possible that you came home and you're like, I thought I got milk yesterday. Milk's gone. Nothing else seems out of place. Oh, I must just be losing my mind. Asking the locals about that. Because like I said, it's very possible that he knew. My speculation is if he spent any time in that woods, maybe trying to make contact with family members, maybe they weren't duped by this individual and he had no solution, and maybe he took his own life and his body is somewhere out in those woods. His remains are somewhere out in those woods. I don't know if they'd ever find those unless they consistently looked for those. And like you said before, hundreds, thousands of acres. This is a lot of resources that this small department and these small counties around this rural area, they don't have the means to just, you know, willy-nilly pay searchers around the clock to be searching for this guy in the middle of nowhere.
And if it's easy for you to access it, I recommend checking out the In Pursuit episode. Again, that was season 3, episode 8, titled Bad Blood. I believe you can watch it on Discovery Plus. And here's the thing. You watch that and your heart breaks for these people. And again, I cannot get over the experience of hearing Nedra's voice on that 911 call. They play a portion of that call during that episode, and you can hear it, how sweet and how kind this woman was. And for her to be ambushed like this is just, I mean, it's horrific. And then the daughter and some of the family members are interviewed, and the wonderful, beautiful things that they have to say about their family and their parents. So if you have the opportunity and if it's easily accessible to you, I recommend watching that episode.
Again, we have details in the show notes on how to get in touch with law enforcement. But Colonel, can you go over some of that information again for the listeners?
Kevin Anderson is described as a Caucasian male, 6 foot tall, weighing approximately 200 pounds with blue eyes and balding brown hair. He is in his mid-60s. And if you see him, again, do not approach him. Do not confront this individual. This guy is so dangerous. This is one of these individuals, these fugitives, that law enforcement would approach very cautiously.
Yeah.
Would set up a situation so that they are not harmed or killed by this guy, because that's what he will do. That's the lengths he will go to. We've already seen him do it before.
Yeah, he already attempted to murder a deputy. This guy is a scary individual. And if you talk to him, please don't tell him that the captain said that the P stood for peepee head.
If you spot this individual, Kevin Anderson, please contact the United States Marshal Service headquarters at 1-877-926-8332. And locally, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office can be contacted at 1-920-674-7310. Or if you want to remain anonymous, please call WeTip 1-800-78-CRIME.
I want to thank you guys so much for joining us here in the garage. And remember, hashtag ban the van. Colonel, do we have any recommended reading?
This week, we are very happy to recommend an oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
Go and check out and read No Mercy by the great John Walsh. We are coming up on the 25-year anniversary of the book's publication. No Mercy features John describing some of America's most wanted's most dramatic cases, including the show's successes and failures. This is a great read. No Mercy by John Walsh, and you don't have to write that title down now, because you can go to truecrimegarage.com and check out our many recommendations on our recommended page. Thanks again for joining us here once again in the garage. We will be back next week. And until then, be good, be kind, and don't litter.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.